You're listening to Soul Talk with Holly Azzopardi. I'm an intuitive, astrologer, writer, and mother, but mostly I'm a gal navigating spirituality in a refreshingly real and honest way. Join me as I share weekly energetic insights and laugh out loud real moments of my personal journey into more heart, more soul, and a whole lot of fun along the way. Hello and happy Friday. I got to say, it's so nice to be back in a rhythm with these chats with you guys. And it was so nice to hear from so many of you off the back of last Friday's ep and how much it resonated and how much you enjoyed me bringing the fire. Oh my God. I listened back and I was like, I really felt that, didn't I? But it was very affirming to hear from so many of you resonating. So thank you for letting me know, because while I know I speak with articulated confidence, these are always fly by the suit of my pants. Nothing's prepped other than the chat around Operation Life Force. I had dot points because I wanted to cover everything, but otherwise I'm just talking from my heart directly. And so sometimes things come out and I'm like, whoa, okay, she wanted to say that. Do we just share it? And yeah, I do. There's never any edits when I send these to my producers. I'm sure I'm the easiest podcast for them ever to edit because I'm like, just press go. Just put it out there. It's a really nice practice on owning my voice. So what I'm saying is it's also very affirming to hear when the episodes resonate. So thank you for your support from last week's one, because I definitely had a vulnerability hangover. And I feel like today is going to be the same. It's a very different topic. I will make sure that I've got trigger warnings in the show notes, but also just a trigger warning. Before I've even planned exactly what I'm going to say, I'm just going to speak from my heart, as I said. But I'm going to talk about body image today, my relationship with my physical body. So if you have any experience with any body dysmorphia, eating disorders, anything to do with, if you find conversations around your body image triggering, then I would advise you to maybe not listen in, or just be really, just have discretion when you're listening. And you can hear in my throat, I'm already like clearing it, because we're in Taurus season and Taurus governs the physical body, self-image, self-worth connected to self-image and body image. And the second house is very much around body image too. And when you look at second house placements for people's charts, it's actually very telling when it comes to, yes, the relationship with money and how much that means to them, but also their relationship with their physical self and potentially self-worth. And I have three personal planets in the second house: my sun, my Mars, and my Mercury. They're all there in the second house. And so for me, money is very important to me, making my own money, taking responsibility for my own financial well-being. It's always been a big thread, and having my natal chart illuminated that to me. My sun being in the second house makes me a Taurus-flavored Leo. So I am as much Taurian. Actually, I'm going to go so far to say I'm probably more Taurian than I am Leo, just because of those three personal planets in that second house. I'm very, very Taurian in essence. So I love Taurus season. But I also note that body image for me is coming up in a really big way. Postpartum, yes. And also while I teeter on the edge of getting back into modeling and modeling in my body as it is now as a new mum. And I think this is a conversation that maybe is just assumed is had, but I don't think it's actually had a lot with new mums in postpartum and what actually comes up for us as we navigate that experience. And I know that I'm coming on to 17 months postpartum now, but you know, I am not a woman whose body took birth, breastfeeding, obviously, or postpartum easily. And so I am still navigating a lot of physical trauma and I'm going to say shame as well, which is an awful thing to say, but I also just want to be honest around how I look. And it's a really confronting realization to have. And it kind of slapped me in the face last week, to be honest, because as you guys know, I'm really desiring to get back into performance and particularly modeling. I love being in front of the camera. It's it just comes very naturally to me. I have been, you know, I was a child model. My first gig, I think I was like 4 or 5 years old. I walked in Sydney Fashion Week as a 7-year-old. I was the youngest to walk that year. My mum was a model. She was Miss Northern Beaches. Like, it's not a part of my life that I speak much about because I have a lot of internalized shame around monetizing my body and monetizing beauty. It's just a really weird piece and thread that I'm trying to unravel, because underneath it all, does modeling bring me joy? Yep. Does being in front of the camera bring me joy? Yep. Am I good at it? Yep. And yet. I left my management specifically for modeling at the end of last year, and I have not sought out new management yet. I still have brands that want to work with me. And it's a really interesting one. I have this beautiful brand that I freaking adore and love to death, and they've wanted to work. Like, they've just been banging at my door being like, when are you back modeling? When are you back modeling? When are you back modeling? And I'm like, oh yeah, soon. And they've asked me to create some content for them, and I got sick and wiped myself out for March. And now I have no reason to not create this content for them. And yet I might get upset. Oh man. It's really forcing me to look at my avoidance to being seen in in this new way. And most people will look at me and you will not see anything other than a beautiful body, because all bodies are beautiful, you know? But I do have a history of body dysmorphia, and I have noticed almost confrontingly so that when I look in the mirror more often than I should, I am being really critical, and it's not nice because I do know better. But I want to say that it's one thing to know better, and it's another thing to actually be struggling regardless of that knowledge. And I actually find that when you know better, you can be more critical with yourself, because it's like, I shouldn't be feeling this. And it can really lend itself to guilt. And, you know, years ago, I created a program, My Body, My Home. And in the back of my head, I'm like, Holly, sit and do the My Body, My Home practices. Like, it's a beautiful program. It's a 4-week course on connecting back and coming back home into your body. But there is part of me that's like, but I wasn't a mother when I created that. So yes, it's likely serves women in their maidenhood. But when your body goes through something so intense, pregnancy and then traumatic birth, and then the shame that I'm still carrying clearly around my inability to breastfeed, I'm noticing that I am taking it out on my body, and not in ways where I don't have a history of disordered eating. I'm very grateful for that. Like, I'm definitely eating fine. I don't binge or purge. That has not been my experience, but I know it's very real experiences for many people. For me, it's all in my head. It's the dysmorphia chat. And I'm finding myself like struggling to dress and feel confident and, fearing what people might think when, you know, it's beautiful, but, you know, people will recognize me out and about and come over and have a chat, which is so nice. And honestly, one of the biggest things is, oh, are they judging the way that I look? Which is ridiculous, because I know that there's no or very little truth in that, but it's just something so deep that's come up for me this bloody eclipse Taurus season. It's so deep. And yeah, I guess the reason I'm having this conversation is I think it's really easy for us to assume that people who we label as confident, I guess, aren't having these internal conversations or these internal struggles behind the screen, especially for those of us like me who show up with their face to the camera or with photos on their and on their page or, you know, those sorts of things, or who receive, you know, who are literally models, who receive brands that want them to pose in their clothing, and so on. It's like, even still, it doesn't matter how many people, and I know that many, many of us can relate to this. It doesn't matter how many people tell you, you look great, you look amazing, oh my gosh, you know, you are a beautiful person, whatever it is. It's, for me, so much internalized, and also I hold on to the criticisms. And way back when I started back at modeling again, so this would have been 4 years ago now, I received amazing feedback and also some criticisms that I obviously haven't looked deeply at and want to come up to be looked at. If you have been part of my community for a very, very long time, you'll know that the shaming that I have received on multiple occasions for the size of my breasts, it's not something I can help. It is my body. And yet I've received countless comments, derogatory comments, criticisms from other women, shame-fueled conversation around how I dress and my breast size. That has been a big undercurrent of my own relationship with my body. And it's one that is coming up again for me, obviously, with this threat of breastfeeding as well. Isn't it interesting? It's all connected. Yeah, shame that I carry around my breasts in more ways than one now. So it just used to be their size, and now they're bigger and far less perky, but also the fact that they didn't do what they were supposed to do. So while I would give anything to get in front of a camera again and shoot, there is this part of me that's afraid of other people reflecting back to me what I'm already speaking to, how I'm already speaking to myself, which isn't nice. I am also the kind of gal that is going to likely book more swimwear than anything. It's just the part of the industry that I'm in, which again was fine in the past, but now I'm really having to catch myself in the negative self-talk around that. It's so hard to explain. It was such a big part of my career and life for a good 2 years there, where I literally was shooting in a swimsuit, it felt like, every other week. And now I can't find one I feel good in, you know? And I think so many new mums go through this and just don't talk about it, because it's just, it's another part of the forgotten piece. And it's so easy to say, oh my gosh, but look at your body, it grew life and it, you know, yes, I've never felt sexier when I was pregnant, PS. Like, I was like, get me in front of a camera, up until like 39 weeks when I went into labor with my little girl. I was posing on the beach with my husband taking photos of me. Like, I felt so sexy pregnant. I was obsessed with my body pregnant. It was the best, sexiest, most beautiful I have ever felt. And I kept that all offline, so that I have beautiful photos that I just, I'm obsessed with. And then, you know, at the time you're like, I am never going to berate my body again. I am never going to be mean to her again. She has created a miracle of life. This is divine. This is amazing. And yeah, but then you try and breastfeed and it doesn't work. And then you realize that 10 months postpartum, you still have a pregnant belly, and it's because you have something known as hypertonic pelvic floor. This is my personal experience, where while everyone assumes that postpartum women will cough and they'll wee themselves, I was the exact opposite. The tension that I'd experienced in my pelvic floor from having an episiotomy and then forceps delivery, which, by the way, did I just realize, I only just realized 7% of births end in forceps delivery. So there's something like 30%+ in C-section, 7% in forceps delivery. That's just some food for thought, because I'm like, why are people not talking about this? I'm like, oh, because not many people have had that experience. So what's actually happened for me through birth is that my pelvic floor has come completely tense and tight. Nothing about it has been relaxed. And so I've had to be working with a women's health physio to get my pelvic floor back into a relaxed state. That's before I can even exercise. So, you know, it's been actually really hard behind the scenes. And I know I've come a really long way. Now I can go to postnatal Pilates classes. It's so great, but it's also super confronting because I got the all clear a month ago to go back and train because I've developed this, I've like recalibrated my pelvic floor with the women's health physio. And we were sitting in our first class and the two other women were 6 weeks postpartum and 10 weeks postpartum and I was 16 months. And I know it's not too late to start on this like reclamation of your physical in a postpartum way, but my God, do I feel like I've wasted time? It's just been really slow for me. It's been really slow. And I know you can't compare to other women and their bodies and their, you know, journey back or not. It's not even back because you'll never go back. It's journey forward into the new version of you. And I had a lot of mental health healing to do last year, clearly, and a lot to shift through. And getting out of my first year postpartum is like, okay, I can breathe. But now for me, this next hurdle is that of coming back into a place of acceptance of my body. I'm conscious of the word body love because there are stages, yes, when I look in the mirror and I love what I see, but just more so, it's like I would just desire acceptance. And I think I'm getting there. Like, I know I'm crying in this episode, but I don't want you guys worrying. I'm just like being real with you because I know so many other people will understand what I'm saying, postpartum or not. But it's just, I'm seeking acceptance. I'm seeking neutrality. I'm seeking, because from a place of acceptance, then I can build confidence. And I'm definitely like fucking so much further than I was than at the beginning of the year. But I think I just wanted to illuminate this conversation because it is one of those taboo topics that isn't spoken to but is assumed. And I just like to shine a light on the things that aren't spoken to yet are assumed because it means that there needs to be a voice somewhere to it. So that's what I've been navigating. It's really interesting. I've been seeing beautiful Betsy Westcott, my finance coach. I mention her like every third episode, not intentionally, but we've been working together on my money stuff because, you know, hello Taurus season, hello North Node. And we did this really incredible exercise. And it was basically highlighting all of your skills and talents that you're not currently utilizing that you could to make money. And the biggest thing for me was modeling. And Bets asked me, you know, why aren't you doing this? Like, why aren't you actively pursuing this? And I broke down in tears and said, I don't have my confidence. And I think every postpartum mother in some way can relate to that, no matter how they appear on the surface. There's so much that you lose yourself in when you bring a little life into the world. And it's my commitment to myself to come back into right relationship with my physical body because I know I'm so proud of what I've done. I'm so proud of the life I have created. I loved pregnancy more than ever. As you guys know, I'm proud the way that I birthed my little girl, like that my body could handle that labor that I went through. I'm so proud of her. And that's why I also feel such guilt around being mean to myself, you know? So, what am I going to do about it? Well, I'm going to book back in with my therapist because this isn't a thread that's just mine. I know it's, and as women especially, it's likely a thread that we've carried from our mothers and their mothers. And I know for me, it is definitely an ancestral thread. So, I definitely want to do some family constellation work at pulling this thread. I'm also going to sit some kinesiology with a beautiful listener/friend. Hey, Pixie. because I really am ready. I want, this is the thing. It's such a, like they cancel one another out. What's that word? I don't have my brain at full capacity anymore these days, but it's not irony. I guess it is to a degree. We'll use that for lack of a better term, but I know there is a better word for it. It's like, I want to be in front of the camera. I want to be modeling, but I'm so scared to do it. and I feel so deeply not in my comfort zone with it, but I really want it more than anything, but also I'm judging myself for that. It's so interesting. And you know what? I think that's the other thread is like, there is a story that I tell myself where I could be doing much bigger, better work in the world than standing in front of a camera and posing. And so I wrong myself for the, this is the piece. I wrong myself for the desire I have that is to sit and be in beauty and to sit and be in my physical form in a place of pure ownership and physical expression. That, and I'm wronging myself for it. And I know lots of other people would wrong either themselves or me or anyone else for it. And it's just so, it's so unfair and mean, you know, it's deep seated judgment, that I'm unraveling here. So there's many layers. I'm going to take you guys on this journey with me. Once I unpack some of these layers, it's just, honestly, it's only come to light for me that this is actually a really real struggle. Last week where this beautiful brand followed me up. They're like, have you sent us the thing? It's been a few months. And I'm like, no, I'm just kind of sitting on it because I'm fucking scared. Oh, even though I really want to do it. Far out. Anyway, I don't know if this has made any sense, if it's resonated with you or not. I would love to hear from you in the Facebook group. And if you are going through it, all I can say is that you're not alone. And also, we are our own worst enemies. People are not looking at us and thinking mean things about our bodies. Like, and if they are, whoa, like... We need to not be around those people. But the thing is, it's not happening. It is literally not happening. We are our own worst enemies. And it's like self-love chat 101. But what happens is we think we've learned the lesson and then that's it forever. And it isn't. There are going to be these moments in the threads of our lives that we're going to butt heads against again, once more, and go, why is this a recurring pattern? Why is this a recurring thread? It's like, no, this is who I am. And I'm meeting myself there again and I'm ready to go deeper. And that's where I'm at with this thread. Sending you guys huge love. I'd love to hear what you think. Thank you for listening and holding space for me. And I will be back in your ears next week.
You've been listening to Soul Talk with Holly Azzopardi. Enjoyed today's ep? Remember to share, subscribe, and leave a little rating if you like what you heard. And join us over on Facebook. Just search Soul Talk with Holly Azzopardi. Until next time.